Good morning and welcome to EcoTalk, where we bring you sound solutions for a healthier planet each week. Today we will continue our two-part series on the death of environmentalism debate. Last week we had two of the architects behind the critique of the same name, and today we're going to hear from four critics of the current environmental movement. And our first segment will include an interview with Jim Motovalli. He is the editor of one of my favorite green magazines, and that is E! Magazine. In our second segment, we'll be checking in with Dan Carroll. He is a strategist and co-founder of the Apollo Alliance, and one of the people that has weighed in on grist.org, weighed in on his opposition to the death of environmental paper. Kind of ironic because while there weren't any specific solutions put forth by Ted Nordhaus and Michael Schellenberger in that original paper delivered last fall to funders, they did mention something like the Apollo Alliance is needed to build sort of more jobs and more awareness and really just better protect our environment and deal with such challenging issues as global climate change. We'll also be speaking with John Koifman. He is the Deputy Director of Communications for the NRDC, another person that was not very happy. Of course, he is part of the established environmental movement. Carl Pope, head of the Sierra Club, will not be with us today, but we have had him on the show in the past, and he has been one of the most vocal critics of this death of environmentalism paper, which is still kind of an active controversy. If you'd like to read more about it, again, grist.org has a very large number of people weighing in. In our last segment, we'll be checking in with T.A. Barron. He's been a guest on the show before. He's an internationally best-selling and award-winning author, conservationist, and education advocate. He, too, has been writing on the NRDC's blog site about the death of environmentalism. So our first guest joins us now, Jim Motovalli. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're doing a couple of things, including writing a book that's almost hot off the press. Tell us about that real quickly.
Well, it's a book called Green Living. It's an e-magazine handbook to living lightly on the earth, and it's really a sort of a comprehensive whole earth catalog for how to be as green as possible on the planet today.
A very important book. You've also written one called Feeling the Heat. I assume that's about global warming?
It is. It's sort of a record of what's happening with global warming so far, the effects that can already be seen by reporters. I sent reporters around the world to see that.
And I know you're also an expert in transportation issues.
Yeah, I write about cars and transportation and our policy, which, of course, has led largely to the amount of global warming gas we generate. We're the leading global warming emitter.
Yes, and now that we've established your credentials, tell us what your reaction was when you first heard about this paper.
Well, I think it's certainly legitimate to criticize the environmental movement, and there's lots of different ways you can do that. My first reaction to the death of environmentalism paper by Schellenberger and Nordhaus, that it was somewhat overblown and written in really bombastic language. And I was taken by the point they make about framing. And then I was amazed to discover it wasn't really original to them, that it had been originally, I don't even know if it's completely original to George Lakoff either. But
he's getting a lot of credit for it lately.
Yeah, well, Lakoff had put forward this idea that the liberal establishment in general needs to think about framing its issues more generally. He wrote a book called Don't Think of an Elephant that's about that, I think.
Came out right before the election, but not soon enough.
A lot of the ideas in that essay come from Lakoff, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, he has been influential. Again, that book came out right around the time of the election, so it got a lot of coverage. So bombastic, you say, and obviously...
Well, I don't think they should have called it death of environmentalism, because I don't think anyone really believes that, probably even including them. But one of the reasons it got so much media attention was because they did use that phrase. And I interviewed Lakoff, and he said that he would have called it rebirth of environmentalism, and he didn't urge them to use that phrase instead. But they understand, one of them, Schellenberger, I believe, I can't remember, one of them is a publicist, and they understand
Schellenberger.
The value of, you know, an inflammatory phrase like that. And in many ways, environmentalism is actually stronger than it has been in recent years. There was a Gallup poll that shows a rise in Americans believing that environmental protection is more important than economic growth. So even a large number of Republicans believe that, and a majority of Americans in general. And that's actually risen. And Schellenberger and Nordhaus will show you some information they have. I believe Nordhaus is a pollster. And they have some polling information, but they don't really have data that is convincingly shows a significant number of Americans are turning away from environmentalism. And I would like to see the actual data. I'd like to see evidence they have that there's a declining interest in environmentalism. And I also think that in many ways, environmental groups put up a pretty good showing in the 2004 election. They banded together. They organized 527 committees. They went door to door in states like Ohio, and I think they were very effective.
Well, I think there is interest expressed on the part of Americans, according to the polls I've seen. The problem is it just doesn't seem to go very deep. While they say they're concerned about the environment, they don't necessarily vote the environment. And according to George Lakoff, who has been on the show, he says that's because Americans tend to not vote their best interests, which is interesting, but vote who reflects their self-image best. Just kind
of frightening. I think that's probably true. I think that's probably true. And then we have to get more sophisticated. We have to listen to the information about framing, and we have to do a lot of other things. It's certainly an uphill battle, but I'm not sure that the prescriptions in the Death of Environmentalism essay are really what's needed now, as taken as a whole.
What did you see as the prescriptions? Because one of the criticisms has been that it didn't really offer anything better.
Well, they use the example of the Apollo
Alliance
as the type of thing that environmental groups should be doing, working to show that environmental initiatives produce jobs and that they can make initiatives and alliances with labor. But I think in many ways environmental groups have already been doing that. They heavily criticize the Sierra Club, for instance, for having its head in the sand like the ostrich in your theme song there. But in many ways, the Sierra Club was already working with the Apollo Alliance and was already well aware of the need to build alliances with labor. I've also worked with, done some work for the Ecology Center of Ann Arbor, and they also work with the Apollo Alliance, and they've done white papers on the need to form alliances with labor. This is really nothing new, and certainly I don't think most environmental groups needed Nordhaus and Schellenberger to tell them to do this, because I think they were doing this.
Interestingly, in our next segment, we'll be speaking with Dan Carroll, one of the co-founders of the Apollo Alliance, since that was mentioned as one solution or one model. It's interesting that Dan Carroll is one of the people criticizing the death of environmentalism.
So. I have noticed that, the Apollo Institute itself doesn't take kindly to their criticism. And I would say that not everything in their critique is wrong, in my estimation. I think environmental groups have been a little too Washington-centric, the big ones anyway, and too much tied to legislative-type initiatives, not enough grassroots initiatives. I mean, that kind of statement, I think, in general, probably applies.
And this really has been, it's obviously a very provocative title, and the entire presentation has, polarized a lot of people. Along with Michael Schellenberger, last week we had Adam Werbach, of course, the youngest president of the Sierra Club about a decade ago, and one of the biggest critics, most vocal critics of this death of environmentalism piece has been Carl Pope, the current president.
Well, Adam Werbach says that environmentalism is dead, and he's going to be, I don't know if he used the word undertaker or something like that, who's going to perform the autopsy, something like that. And, again, I think the idea of environmentalism being dead, I think that's a real exaggeration.
Well, I asked them both if, they could have foreseen, which they should have, all the criticism, would they do it again? And only Michael answered that, and he said absolutely. I mean, he didn't skip a beat. So, I do think it's a conversation worth having. So in that sense, I think it has been positive.
Well, if their aim was to get publicity, they certainly succeeded in doing that. I mean, there were two pieces in the New York Times, and environmental groups all answered it and published things on their websites, and Grist magazine did a whole series, and the Sierra Club lengthily responded to it from several different people. So certainly it got a rise out of the environmental movement. And I don't think the fact that it exists is all negative.
Right.
If it gets some groups out of their complacency, it's good.
One of the criticisms was that this paper was delivered to the Environmental Grantmakers meeting conference last fall. It wasn't personally delivered, but it was the paper was presented there. People said it was just a money grab. You were just trying to say, don't fund the Sierra Club, NRDC, fund us. But when I asked them that question, they said there's no other place where environmental leaders, the people who make the money decisions, meet. And so it was a logical place to them.
You know what I find ironic, actually, about some of the big funders talk a lot about funding grassroots environmental groups but don't actually do it.
I agree.
If you look at their actual funding.
I agree with that, having been one myself. I had a grassroots campaign of my own, and they all liked it, but, blah, 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 you know. But it's just those grassroots groups that are really kind of doing the work where the rubber meets the road. Thanks for joining us. Jim Motovalli, editor of E! Magazine, will be talking to you about other topics in the future, and congratulations on the release of your new book. We'll be right back.